This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
How are you doing this very hot afternoon, Jan?
Yes, doing my utmost to keep cool. It is a hot day.
I can understand that enormously. Before we get onto your topics today, because I did promo what we would be talking about, amongst other things, I mentioned Netflix and TV licenses in the first hour.
Yeah, huge story today.
So I want to stay on that just for a minute, because when listeners send us messages, they kind of trump anything we're going to talk about, and I go there first. Yes. So somebody's actually cottoned onto that story, and you'll give us the details in a moment, but the question from Hachamor is the following. I've got a question for Jan Vermeulen. How does our government intend to enforce TV licenses for Netflix when they can't get ETOLs and existing TV licenses to work? Are we headed to a China-type situation where there's a great firewall that prevents anything that they don't like, and a code will be needed to access the internet? Wow, that's pretty dire, but over to you.
Yeah, sure thing. So a couple of things about the Great Firewall. I've traveled to China, and so it's not that you need a code to access the internet. It's that if you want to access the larger internet, you need like a whole, you need to basically hack around it using a virtual private network usually.
Okay.
Without a VPN, I could not use any Google services, any Facebook services, including WhatsApp. I couldn't use Twitter. Like I was locked into only the sort of Chinese equivalents of that. So definitely, the great firewall route, down that path lies, madness, for our policymakers. They'll just be, creating, an untenable, ungovernable situation for themselves. No, it's far easier than you think. So basically it would require, to answer the question, which is how, do you get Netflix, people who watch Netflix on typically TVs,
yes.
But I mean, there's many of us who watch Netflix on computer monitors and cell phones, but let's say government discounts that and they go, nope, everybody who is able to stream Netflix, that's the same as a TV signal, you now have to subsidize the SABC. They'll have to pass some laws. They'll have to put regulations in place to enforce those laws. And then they just make it so that a portion of your Netflix subscription has to be paid over to government other than the VAT. So already the VAT has to get paid over. And then you go, okay. And then in addition to that, another percentage or an X amount, like let's call it a flat amount, you know, your annual TV license is whatever, 250 Rand a year, whatever it is now. And then, that has to be paid over to government, even if it's in monthly installments. So it's far easier to get that money. And that's, if they do it that way, which is part of the reason they want to do it that way. Because right now, much like ETOLs, South Africans are just going, we're not going to fund the SABC. It's not a public broadcaster. It's a state broadcaster.
Yeah.
We don't agree with the way things, have been done. The Tlalim or Tseneng situation, people are still, that's still a very bitter taste left in people's mouths. And so people are just going, we are not going to fund this thing. And so government is looking at not just Netflix, but MultiChoice as well to force any broadcaster in South Africa, which collects money from their subscribers to basically collect the TV license from that subscriber as well. What's going to be interesting is what about someone like me who has subscriptions to all the major video streaming providers? So Showmax, Prime Video, Apple TV Plus, and Netflix, right? Now, which one of those collects my TV license? Or is there going to be some kind of mechanism in place so that I pay my TV license through one, and then I get some kind of document to show the others so that they don't try to get that money out of me as well? You know, how do you prevent people from bill 3, 4, 5 different times for their TV license if you're going to do it this way? That's going
to
be
very interesting. You'll have to watch and see. Jan, Cell C apparently making a 7.5 billion, that's billion rand loss. I think I read somewhere they've lost 28% of their subscriber base.
Yes, so Cell C says that this is all according to the plan. They've been showing losses upon losses. I mean, they've just bled billions over the last few years. And they say that their plan is to actually hemorrhage subscribers and only keep the profitable ones. I don't know how you're going to do that, how you're going to discriminate between the ones who leave who are thin margin subscribers and you know, contract subscribers who give you nice fat margins, because you know, like if you're in a situation where people are just leaving your network, then I would imagine that it would be you know, well paying customers and thin margin prepaid customers you know, as well. So anyway, this is the official word from Cell C, is that yes, they're losing money, but the turnaround strategy is on track. And in fact, if you look at their, what they call their normalized earnings, adjusting for recapitalization and restructuring costs, things are actually improving. And so, yeah, we'll see as this plays out whether that's just spin, or if in fact, Cell C has indeed turned the corner.
Jan, can I ask you to very quickly, literally in a minute and a half, address this final issue of Vodacom and MTN data, apparently linked to an assassination scandal, because that justifies belief.
Yes, so this is that big story about the Lieutenant Colonel Charles Kinnear, who was assassinated. He was a section commander of an anti-gang unit. He was killed in Bishop Lavis in Cape Town in September. And then the Daily, this is a follow-up on a Daily Maverick article, so our follow-up on a Daily Maverick article, which basically said how location-based services provided by the likes of Vodacom and MTN were used to plot this assassination, to basically track the movements of the lieutenant, the colonel, I should say, and then, you know, formulate a plan and then execute the plan. Our story is we followed up with Vodacom and MTN and asked them, how can this happen? What kind of security protocols are in place? And for folks who are interested, they should perhaps read the full article. But yes, in short, you know, we got the standard spiel from Vodacom and MTN, which is, you know, they take this extremely seriously and they're investigated and so on. And so in this particular case, it was once again the story of WASPs. I don't know if the listeners can remember, we've been speaking about WASPs and My Broadband has been reporting extensively about WASPs over the past year, you know, taking into account we've been doing it for the past 10 years. But this was once again a WASP failure, where the partners, Vodacom and MTN partners, these wireless application service providers, were able to circumvent the security measures in place for location-based services and were able to track whoever they want, whenever they want, you know, and no proper records were kept. And to the point where MTN actually went to its WASP partners, it's nine of them who have access to location-based services, said, give us the documentation to show that you've been abiding by the rules and not tracking people without their permission. None of the nine could produce the necessary documentation. MTN cut them all off. It's a little too late for the Lieutenant Colonel, unfortunately, but it's something at least.
We're going to leave it there, Jan van Meulen. As always, thank you so much for your input.
It's a pleasure. Have a good day further.
Thank you so very much.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.